to. God wouldn't lead me to anything else. But I was thinking this morning about it being Mother's Day. My mom's gone, home be with the Lord. And I was just thinking yesterday, because I was thinking, well, there's going to be a lot of people, their mothers have gone on, you know, and this is a sad time for them, you know. And but really, if you really go, and but I was thinking about yesterday, I was telling Teresa, I said, you know, I was thinking about Mom. God helped me after Mom passed away, because He told me to be thankful to Him for the life that I had with her, and to rehearse those things at times, you know, and everything. And I was thinking about it. I told Teresa, I said, I think I'll tell the story about Mom. Now, Teresa and Mom was pretty close, you know, and Teresa took care of her bills and different things, especially in the latter years, you know, but took care of a lot of stuff for her and everything. So she started having a heart attack one time. So Mom, I guess, calls Teresa. Oh, yeah, she'd come out and minister to jail. And so she gets her in the car and takes off to Oneonta. And so she's running 80 miles an hour. Teresa's running 80 miles an hour. And she gets down there and close to Oneonta, and she tells Teresa, she says, my goodness, don't kill us. She's having a heart attack. Teresa's telling Teresa, don't kill us. She's running 80 miles an hour. And then another time that I remember, Mom called me. Well, she had some, what was them? Trees you cut. Azalea. Crape myrtle bushes. She had some crape myrtle bushes. And them things had got real tall, you know. So Teresa's just going to go out there and shape them up and cut them off. And I did. When I come in, I thought, my God. I mean, she cut them off. She cut them babies off. And when Mom looked out the window, she seen her trees cut off, and she called. She'd call me when she heard me come in. Oh, boy, she has killed my trees. She killed them. She cut them down and killed them. I thought, well, maybe she didn't. I said, no, they'll be okay, Mom. They'll be okay, Mom. Well, you know, those trees did come back. Well, those memories I have. Those were good memories. They were funny times. You know, they were good times, you know. And I don't really recall how I did it. I do, but I don't. I'll prank call her. Yeah. I called her up and told her that I was her brain doctor. I had fun with Mom's one day. See what I'm saying? I can rejoice today. Mom is in heaven. I mean, she enjoyed her life, you know, and your mom, they're going on to be with the Lord, they would not come back here. Now, we miss them and all of that, but you can really rehearse the good times and, you know, that you had with them, and thank God for it. And it'll help you, is all I'm saying. It'll help you heal. It'll help the loneliness and all of that, you know, from them being gone. We miss them and stuff, praise God. But now, I mean, you know, my mom was, she wasn't a funny, she was a very serious person, and I'd call her up. I by one time slipped out there, I throwed rocks inside the door. She had the doors open, I pitched rocks in there. Then I'd call her and act like I was speaking Spanish, and then she'd get mad and hang up on me, because I couldn't speak Spanish. I would pull things on her like that, having fun, and you know, she would laugh about it later, praise God. But you know, if your mom's here, you know, enjoy her. If your dad's, same thing, praise God. But I thank God for all your mothers, you know, and if any of y'all listening by way of internet and you just feel lonesome and all of that today, you know, just rehearse and thank God. Just begin to thank God for the times that you had with them, and you know, and thank God for the memories that you have, and it will help you. It will help you to heal, you know. And because if they knew Jesus, there's no way they would come back here. No way. There is just no way. And they would not want us down here being sad, you know. They would, because they're up there rejoicing in the presence of God and the angels and Peter and Paul and John and all the warriors that went before us. They're singing and praising God up there. They're walking on streets of gold. I mean, they don't They don't know any heat or any hardship, any pain. They don't know any of that, you know. And so they wouldn't want us down here, you know, just missing them and all of that. They would want us to move on and enjoy life like they did. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. See, and then we're not in that victim mentality. But anyhow, we're believers and not beggars and not victims. And you know, I mean, over the course of time, I mean, I was ingrained in poverty, my thinking and feeling guilty when I would get more than enough, and you know, because I knew people that needed and needed things and different things, you know. So I had to come out of that victim mentality, out of that, you know, the beggar's mentality. Teresa went out one time. She had listened to, she got some good teaching on, you know, some things, and I would save everything. I'd save old drop cords, the ends been cut off, and hanging in the shed. I would just save it all, you know. And she told me, one day she told me, out there, and we spent time together. We built dune buggies and stuff, and I'd work on my dune buggies, and she'd be out there, and Travis would be out there. And I mean, that was about an everyday thing, you know. But we started listening to that. But anyhow, she told me one day, she said, "Why don't you get rid of them?" I said, "No, I'm not going to get rid of them. I might need them. I had five or six old drop cords that wasn't no good hanging up, you know, piece them, cut the ends off, piece them, and all of that." And she said, "You a beggar's mentality." She said, "You know, you're thinking poverty." Well, it made me mad, Johnny, right then. You know, every time when God challenges us to come up higher, if you're not careful, you're going to get upset with him. You're going to get upset with the ones that's delivering the message, you know. But anyhow, she went on, and I thought, well, she ain't the one that got a job, having to buy this stuff, you know. Satan always brought that one to my mind, you know. She ain't the one got a job. She ain't the one working, you know, got to do all this. He'll use whatever he can use on you to keep you there. Well, I started thinking about it. I thought, well, bless God, you know what? What if I did throw all them away and God back, he gives me the money to buy brand new ones? I thought, you know what? Praise God. You know, maybe I won't never use them. It'd be better if I had a brand new one. I wouldn't have to tape nothing up when I went to use it. You know, so little by little, I started getting rid of that mentality. Of that hoard up mentality, save everything mentality, because I might need it in the future. I'm not saying be wasteful and all that, but when it's controlling you to where, and you know what? I did. I got rid of a bunch of them, and it ain't nothing for me today to throw them in the garbage. You know, go just stopping Lowe's and go in there and buy new ones. Just bought two new ones here a while back, praise God. You know, put new ones on my truck. Travis told me here not too long ago, say, "Ah, oh, Dad, you just upgrade about everything, don't you? You know, got stuff going on. Got believing God. Believe God to come out of poverty enough to where I could have good tools to do my business with, so that I could have good stuff. I've got all good stuff in the business, praise God. But I attribute it to the Word of God, going back to telling the Lord, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're an abundant God. God, and help me to believe that this abundant God that I've given my life to and put my trust in is able to help me come and get rid of this thinking that I can't have anything without laboring really hard and long for it, Lord. Help me to realize that Proverbs 22 says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. We covered Wednesday night. We covered some things, you know, how that God told them in the Bible, man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God does man live. You know, people's told me before, you know, because I try to let the word be first place and final authority. When I learned that 18 years ago or so, you know, about my marriage, about my finances, about my relationships, about even in business. The Bible says, let my yes be yes and my no, no. You know, I mean, instead of that in-between stuff, I had to do it in business and all that. But people's told me, well, you know, you're just too serious. No, this Bible's real serious about victory. It's real serious about my healing, about, you know, about my finances. God's real serious about establishing his covenant with me. It don't mean that I don't enjoy. I enjoy the works of my hands, the Bible says. He said that we would enjoy the works of our hand. Well, we can't go around saying, I hate my job, and enjoy the works of our hands. Told Travis here a while back, I said, see, I'm not a beggar. I'm a believer. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus. I'm a believer that he'll prosper me. Not that he will, he has. And he continues to. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord's good. See, until we go after him and experience him. See, you know, I'll just make this little example. Now, my brother, he's trying to get me to the skating rink all the time, Tuesday nights. And I'm like, no, man, he want me to get a girlfriend. And I tell him, I don't want a girlfriend, man. Just stop. Y'all, you and Mom trying to get me to marry everybody. I don't want a girlfriend. You know, well, I'm there one Tuesday night, and I've done got ready to go to bed, and he calls me up, and he tells me his car won't bring to get me to the skating rink. So I get down to the skating rink, and I'm going to look at his car, and he said, oh, come on in for just a minute, man, and then we'll check the car out. Well, he wanted me to meet Teresa. That's how I met Teresa, you know. And then I found out, I went out there, and he'd pulled the coil wire off. You can't cunt a cunt. He had pulled a coil wire. He said, no, let me try it. I said, don't try it. Put your coil wire on. What'd you do that for? It won't crank with the coil wire off. Well, I wanted you to meet her. I said, man, don't ever do that to me again, man. I don't want to meet no girls. But you know what? I really didn't care for Teresa when I first met her. I mean, she was cute and pretty, just like she is now. She was really, you know. But I just wasn't interested. But you know what? I thought, well, I'll go back. A couple of weeks, you know, I thought, oh, well, I'll go back. And I went back, and you know what? The next time I went back, I said, I liked her a little better. The next time I went back, I liked her a little better. Before you know it, there ain't nobody going to have her but me. Well, you know, that's the way I was with the Lord. Now I'm bringing it over here in the spiritual thing now. You know, when the Lord saved me, you know, when I got born again, then I went after him. See, if you don't never go after the Lord, you won't see miracles. You'll just have a church experience. You'll just come to church, and you'll find it hard to come to church when you're tired. But if you're after the Lord, you've got some Zoe going on. You've got some Zoe life on the inside of you that knows that going after him, that going after him is going to cause more hunger after him. The more I dated Teresa, the more I fell in love with her. And I'm telling you, I'm still falling in love with her today. I mean, I know that might be hard to comprehend, but I mean, I'm more in love with her today than I ever have been. It's a different love than it was back at the skate rink. You know, it's just a deeper love, a deeper walk, and all of that. And that's the way it is with the Lord. I'm more in love with him today than I ever have been. Because of continually pursuing the Lord. Now, you know what? I mean, we got to kind of like this right here, you know. I was at work one time, and I'd made up my mind that Sundays was God's, and I ain't working on Sunday. My boss, he would work you Saturday and Sunday, and he'd pay you double time. And so I'd made up my mind not happening. Me and Teresa and my brother, we went and washed his yacht, had four 350 engines on the big yacht, and we'd go up there on the weekend, wash the yacht for the dude, and he'd take us out on the water at Gunnersville, you know. But when I got born again, all of that was over. I thought I got to be a family man on Saturday, you know, because Sunday is church time, and that's not family time to me, although we go to church. I'm telling you this for a reason. These things started happening in my life pretty quickly, you know, and I thought Saturday is my family time. It's going to be my family time. I got a son. He's 2 years old. Or whatever, and I'm not going, you know. And I even wouldn't put ministry. I would not put ministry before my family on Saturday. Go quiet. God made the family first. Adam, Eve, right? But he's first. God was first, and I felt like that was godly. And so it wasn't too long down the road that was challenged. Come to me, and they say, well, Jack wants you to work on his, not yacht. He had some out at Sugar Land Lake building a house out there or something. I said, I don't work on Saturday anymore. He said, well, he's going to pay you time and a half. I, I told him, I said, I'm not going, man. Man, that's good money. You know good and well you can use an extra couple hundred dollars, man. I said, no, man. I said, what it is, I said, I've got saved now. I said, I'm not for sale anymore. I said, you're being bought. You ain't spending no time with your family. You ain't going to church like I do. So you're being bought. And I'm not for sale. Well, right there, I made a conscious choice. I'm not telling you a story. I didn't even really realize what I'm doing. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing, that I was putting God first, that I was strengthening my family. All I knew is on the inside, I felt like Saturday is like my family day. See, God leads us and guides us, and we don't even really know sometimes what He's building in our future. But then the enemy comes in. Well, money's more important. No, it ain't. I would rather live in the car and get us some sheepskin like we used to, me and Teresa, and just pile up back there and just cover up and be warm than have $1 million. We didn't need money. We were in love. We don't need no money. Just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. We're just in love. So all we need is a sheepskin cover and a car. Well, you know what? That's the way I am with Jesus. I've told Him once, I've told Him 1,000,000 times, Lord, I don't serve You because You give me a house. I don't serve You because You give me nice trucks. I don't serve You because You brought it where I can go eat steaks when I want to. I don't serve You because of that, Lord. I serve You because You loved me and You delivered me and You brought my family. You've given me a good. That's why I serve You. That's why I fight for You, Lord. That's why I try to put You first, Lord. That's why I fight in going to do ministry, Lord. That's why I do it, because I love You. See, that's a believer. That's the way a believer mentality is. God, I seek first the kingdom because I love You. God, I seek first the kingdom because it ensures You've taken care of me, Lord. Not just financially, but it feels good to feel good on the inside, man. You know, to feel good on the inside, you know, that's priceless. Hey, Beth, give me that Psalms, please. We covered Wednesday night that where Jesus said that He came that we might have life and have it more abundant. Well, you know, that abundant life keeps me from committing adultery. It keeps me from staring at women. It keeps me from doing pornography on my phone. I got it. It keeps me from being on the marketplace and looking at women. They're on marketplace. Any of y'all men don't know nothing about it? Sure you do. The ads are on there. And you can stop and look at them or not. They'll try to get you to stop. Here I am. Hey, look at me. I'm a beauty. I'm a busting beauty. Had a guy one time riding back there, and he had a picture of his girlfriend in her negligee or whatever. Lingerie, yeah, whatever it is. He wanted to show me his girlfriend in her lingerie. He shut that up there, and I said, listen, man, don't do that. If I want to watch pornography, I'll pull it up on my own phone. People will shove it in your face. They think it's cute and funny. But you know, they ain't the one got to deal with your dead spirit. Dead on the inside, because the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. That grieves the Holy Spirit when I do that. That'll cause me not to be a believer. That'll cause me to get down there, and I'll get down there to where I'm not sure if God's going to move or not. I'm not sure. Well, see, I'm sure. When you stand strong in the Lord, don't the Bible say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Said, and then it tells us, take on the armor of God, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Thank God Teresa brought that up. I mean, if you're listening to secular music today, I'm telling you, and you're born again, it will grieve your spirit. It will grieve you. See, the Lord told me one time, He said, son, when you turn back to that stuff, He said, you're looking for the hunger that I created on the inside of you for me. He said, you're trying to revert back to the way things used to be that you enjoyed. He said, you've been brought out. He said, in those things that you used to enjoy that would give you pleasure for a moment, he said, will not do it anymore. He said, the things of God, the things of the Spirit of God. And that's why I quit listening. I told somebody the other day this. We hired somebody else and said something. They was talking about some kind of music. And I said, I hadn't listened to anything but Christian music in 20-something years, other than when I backslid. You go back when you backslide. If you got the victory over music and now you want it back, something's happening. You're going back. You're turning back. And you're backing up. You're stepping back. You're doing two-step back. Two-step. Hallelujah. That wasn't in my message. Anyway, here we go. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Go ahead, Beth. Oh, it is? Okay, we covered that one the other day. But I brought it out because it pleases God. And you know what? I meditate on this. God, it pleases you to prosper. God, it pleases you to prosper my marriage. It pleases you to prosper my relationships. It pleases you. You know, and it feels good when you feel it on the inside that it is pleasing to God that he prospers you. Kind of like it makes me feel good when I know that Travis knows that I want him to progress past me. It makes me feel good that he knows that I love him. It makes me feel good that when I know that he knows that I'm there for him. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm bringing that in the natural. It makes me feel good. Now, if I'm out there, well, Travis just don't care. I try to help him, and man, he don't even acknowledge me, and all of that don't feel good. That just don't feel good as a father. Well, that's the way God is. You know, I mean, he thinks parallel. So he wants you to know, and he wants you to appreciate that he wants to prosper you, that he's going to prosper you, that he's going to take you higher, that he's going to bring you out of a beggar's mentality. He's going to bring you out of pornography. I thank God he delivered me from pornography. There's no way I could watch pornography and have a good, loving, deep bond with my wife. Come on, somebody. There's no way that I was looking. I know I did it, and I was there, and I was in it. And it causes a man, I believe, or a woman, all of us probably the same, to lust and not love. Drives lust, not love. That wasn't in the sermon. But you know what? God don't want us watching pornography to get satisfied sexually. They want that bun there. They want a real bun that is there out of love and intimacy. Right? A connection. Okay, Beth, give me the other one then. That wasn't in my message either. Psalms, no, give me Psalms 37, 1 through 5. I didn't know I had these wrong. Maybe we did. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Look, trust in the Lord and do the right thing. Trust in the Lord and do the right thing. He said, surely you'll be fed. Surely you'll be took care of. Trust in the Lord. And that's a major thing. That was a major thing to me, because I told the Lord one time, I said, Lord, help me to really, because I ain't never really trusted nobody. If you ain't never really trusted nobody, you don't know how to trust. I mean, you know, I trust my car until it don't crank. Right? I mean, I don't think nothing about it. I go jump in it, and I trust it because I've got in it time after time after time. But when the battery just goes bad all of a sudden, that trust is left. Piece of junk. But trusting in the Lord is something that we must learn. We must learn to train ourselves to trust in the Lord. Then we'll surely be fed, the Bible says. It's hard. It was hard for me to trust the Lord that He would keep Teresa and that she would never leave me again for somebody. It was hard. But you know what? I worked on it, and she worked on it, and we did it, and 30-something years later, bless God, we're here. We worked on it, and now you know what? I mean, she got hit on not too long ago on Messenger, you know, got hit on, talking kind of ugly to her, and she asked him, what, are you stupid? She told me about it. Used to, I'd get on Facebook and find out, hey, dude, hey, I'm prettier than my wife. You know, what's your address? I'm going to come take you out. Yeah, we're going to take you out, Johnny. Take you out. But you know what? I sat over her and I thought, let them hit on her, bless God. Greater is he that's in her than he that's in this world. And she makes those choices. She don't need daddy no more. She's a woman. She knows when she's been hitting on. She knows when somebody hitting on her, you know, and all of that stuff. And she has the backbone in her, his name is Jesus, to put that man in his place. You don't want to hit on Teresa. She'll just fire you right up. She's not interested. Well, me and her overcome, Johnny. You know, I mean, I've been hit on before, you know. I've been hit on all of that. Nope, not interested. Not going to. I've had them to come in a restaurant and sit down beside me while I'm eating my breakfast. And I get up, man, and I'm like, are you serious? That's awkward. That's real awkward. That a woman would just come, hello. I'm like, whoop. Oh, man. My ham was good till then. I got up and left my breakfast, man. I just got up and went and paid and walked out of there. I'm like, I'm getting out of here. Because, well, I know, you know, you don't, if a kitty cat comes to your house, don't pet it. That kitty cat, it ain't leaving. Best thing is call your dog. Get him. Get him. Let that cat be run up the tree and let it know that it's dangerous here. So I got up, get out of there, man. I'm not going to pet that kitty. I'm not going to pet that kitty. I'll be going out with that kitty. Yeah. Because it starts seeming, yeah, Teresa, she's bored. She won't go ride the dune buggies no more. Oh, she just gets, she's a homie now. She don't want to go nowhere. I mean, Satan will start playing some stupid picture in your mind, you women or men. Boy, my guy, he just fat lazy, laid around like a couch potato. Don't do nothing. Makes me do all the work. You got to watch that devil. You keep honoring God regardless of what that couch potato is doing. Come on, somebody. Trust in the Lord and do good. It said a while ago, surely will you eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. He says, for they shall be soon cut down like the grass wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Go ahead, Beth. Delight thyself. That word delight means to be soft and pliable. That means when God's dealing with me, to yield. Or ask him to help me yield if I ain't yielded yet. You know, to delight yourself in the Lord. To pay attention to the things of God. In the Lord, and he shall give the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. But notice, there's two times there, he says, trust in him. And you know, that's one thing for us not to be beggars and victims. Well, kind of like this lady one time, she told me, Teresa gets up, I don't care for suits. I just be honest, I'll wear them. I'm not against wearing them. I'm glad y'all sharp, man. Y'all all look sharp. And I mean, I wear suits. If God told me to wear suits here, if he spoke that to me, you'd never see me without one. I promise. God knows what I'm telling you, the truth, you know. And but Teresa gets up one morning, she comes in there and she said, the Lord wants you to wear a suit. And I said, no, he don't. I said, he does not want me to wear a suit. He knows I don't like to. See, I'm telling you that I've tried to say everything. And so I said, well, fine then. And so I wear a suit to church that morning. And so this lady meets me out there. I'm standing out there on the porch. And she walks up on the porch and she said, do you know what you look like? A monkey with his tail cut off in that suit. I said, you're the reason. The that I had to wear this suit today. I said, you've got a problem. You've got a heart problem. I said, and it caused me to have to wear a suit. I said, you dishonoring the Lord. You dishonoring. I said, so you need to start honoring those that wear suits. I said, because you have a problem. I said, and God wants to fix you, and he's using me to do it. I said, get straightened out so I don't have to wear a suit next Sunday. That's what I told her. Well, you made me have to wear a suit. But you know what? I'm not a victim. I said, Lord, if you want to use me to help somebody in that way, sir, I'll wear whatever you want me to wear, Lord. See, a victim would say, oh, I got to wear it. These people because of these people. I'm having to go through this because of this. I don't care what they think about me. You should not care. If God wants you to dress in purple, you dress in purple. Everybody can say, I wouldn't ever wear purple. I tell guys here, and some of them, I kid with them, you know, we wear pink shirts. That's men. Now, Monty's finally complied. I'm messing with you, Monty. Well, see, the world has contributed wearing pink as girly. I feel manly in pink. I think I make pink look good. Yeah, a real man wears pink. You know, guy asked me one time, he said, man, what kind of underarm deodorant do you use? I said, Secret. Nah, man, that is girls. I said, no, it belongs to me. I bought it. I said, now, this world has got women wearing the best stuff and calling it women. I said, I don't care if it's pink. If it works, man, I can put that on 3 days. I don't have to take a bath in my underarm. Still don't stink. Travis needs it. Well, you know, I mean, some men wouldn't get in front of me and what you wear, Secret. Just, what do you wear? What's it, Gillette? No, that stuff ain't no good. I don't know if it is or not. I just throw the name out there. You know. Well, I don't care. I'm not gonna get down here and let the world mold me into what they want me to be because they think. Whether it's underarm deodorant, whether it's clothes. Now, I believe you need to wear the best to church. I believe you ought to. If you've got money to buy motorcycles, I'm not talking to none of y'all in here. And you got money to buy exhaust, and not you. See, y'all shouldn't let me know things on Facebook. I can't help it; it comes out. or cows. I ought to wear nice clothes to church. I ought to take a cow and sell it and buy a wardrobe. Or I'd take two of my motorcycles, not y'all, and sell them and have a good wardrobe. I'm just making an example. We ought to dress nice. Believers are not beggars. I was in a minister's meeting one time, men's meeting, and they was in there, and all them preachers was talking, and they were saying, well, you know, if you let them know at the hairdresser, they give you a preacher's discount and all that. And I let them all go on. And I got done, and I said, why don't us preachers bust them with a $100 bill every time we get a haircut instead of looking for a handout? I said, we're not beggars begging them to give us a cheap haircut. Man, we need to give them a tip. Me and Teresa go get the haircut. They get tips. They're like, woo, y'all tip good. Yeah, we love your haircut, too. Y'all quiet. What happened? It's good stuff, ain't it? See, we're not beggars. We're not victims. Yeah, he come to me one time, and we was working here is what it was. And we're working here, and somebody here that was working, they had a cheer. They had a cheer he wanted. And they used manipulation. You know, used the word of God. You know, the Bible says, give and it shall be given. You know, he's wanting a cheer, you know. Well, worked on the guy. Give him the cheer. You know what? I throwed the cheer away. It laid out there and rotted. The other guy was going to use the cheer. But the guy thought he would use the cheer. So he wanted the cheer. Good Christian. How many times you can be a Christian and be a beggar? And then get stuff that you don't need. See, hoarding up to yourself. The Bible says don't be covetous. I mean, I thought about it. All of y'all got motorcycles. Back then around here, room, going up and down the road. It got my flesh stirred up. I thought, man, I'm me a motorcycle too, but God. I'll get me a motorcycle, boy. We cruise with the gang. and all that, and I thought, that's my flesh. I mean, those, your flesh can get stirred up real good. Travis comes up and he says, well, I was thinking about getting bet the spider till he found out they're high dollar. And I told him, I said, well, just sell the Harley and then buy her one. No, I ain't about getting rid of my Harley now. Almost makes me want to get a spider. You seen them spiders? You ain't going to hold them up, man. Just cruise. But Teresa ain't going to ride with me. So I just have to go hang with y'all. Well, you ain't going to ride about 30 minutes. I'm going back to the garden. I enjoy the garden. You got to watch that flesh. But you know what? If God tells every one of us, get y'all motorcycles and start a gang. Start a Christian riding gang. You know what? Every one of us ought to have a motorcycle. And I mean, believe God for whatever our hearts desire. But you know what? If I want an older model Honda 350, I ain't got to have a Harley. I ride the 350. I loved it. I was dating Teresa and had one. They mean something to me. Won't run at 60, but that's all I need to go. If I'm on the back road, I'm not in a hurry anyways, right? I'm just cruising. But you know what? Whatever God is speaking, see, God's going to increase the body. And you know what? That can be a witness. When people are out riding together, they stop, they talk about the Lord. Now, if you stop and talk about all the world, you know, talk about how everything's going bad and good. Lord, your leg's hurting. Ain't nobody knows what kind of troubles I have. They're trying to enjoy riding the motorcycles. Right? God, y'all get the crash course on bike riding. Hallelujah. Give me that Psalm 66, Travis, if you can. I mean, we're not beggars. We're not victims. We're not defeated. We're believers. Believers believe God. Real believers that work on believing God, I'm telling you, they get God results. They get God showing up. He show up in the natural things in that you need, just like last Saturday. I didn't need no help this Saturday, Johnny. Thank you. I mean, I needed help over there at the barn. And you know what? I just brought it up here. I didn't ask nobody to come. I really didn't. You know? And Johnny just shows up. He was going to bring it up, but I would have told him. I'd have said, nah, man, appreciate it. I don't need no help. So I go up there, but you know what? I go up there and I'm believing God to anoint me and help me build that barn without anybody. And black God, I'm on my way. I've done hung one truss that most people can't pick up. I used the tractor, picked it up, got the lift, backed it up, got it up there. It was dangerous, but I did it. And then me and Johnny rocked the rest of it out in about 2.5 hours. Me and Johnny and Travis. Well, I was believing God to anoint me, to help me. I'm not going to, I ain't got nobody. Lord, I ain't got nobody, Lord, that'll come and help me, Lord. I'm not a beggar. See, beggars they know how to believe God without anybody. Come on, somebody, I mean believers. Believers know how to believe God to anoint you. Don't the Bible say that we can do all things through Christ? He says we can do all things through Christ. See, he'll give you ideas in your mind to get things done, to prosper you and prosper me. He says here, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but thou brought us out into a wealthy place. You know what? God had me one time going to men's things. It was pastors and evangelists and all that. And I didn't agree with hardly anything they did at their church. But I never give my opinion on what they ought to do at their church. That's none of my business. And so I'm asking God. I said, God, what have you got me here for? Why are you putting it on my heart? We was going once a month. And it was a challenge to go. Men's meeting will be a challenge, some of y'all men. But just whatever you want to do, that'd be up to you. Prosperity's up to you, not up to God. Well, I go down there and I'm like, Lord, he said, open the door for them. Serve them. They'll be like, go ahead. And I'll be like, nah, here, you go ahead. I ain't telling them what I'm doing. I'm just serving the Lord. I'm serving them. And then all of a sudden the Lord told me, he said, I'm doing something in your heart. He said, I'm getting you to where you will serve those that you don't agree with. We must be able to serve under those that we don't necessarily agree with. Now, I'm not talking about doctrinal differences. If somebody's warped up in ministry and scriptures, get away from them. He's not going to have you warped up like them. But if they can be warped up and he can have you to serve them even though they're warped up. But then the Lord told me, he said, I'm showing you things. I have you here for a purpose. God don't ask us to do anything without purpose. He has purpose in what he's doing. And you know what? I learned through that about year, however long it was, went. I learned that I can serve under and serve people that I don't really agree with. They did things in ministry that wasn't biblical to me, that I couldn't find in the Bible. But I'm not there to judge them. I'm there to do what I feel like the Lord's told me to do, just serve him. Well, thou hast caused me into right over. We went through the fire, through the water, but thou brought us out into a well. See, I believe this scripture back when nothing went right for me. Nothing went right. It seemed like everybody got the glorious ministries. It seemed like that all the Christians prospered but me. All of them's lives was straightened out but me. I seemed like I was going through the fire every week. I'm in the fire. I read that and I thought, I'm in it, Lord. I feel like I'm in the water, Lord. I feel like I'm drowning, Lord. I feel like nothing's happening to me, Lord. But you said. But Lord, you said. And I've meditated on that scripture, and I'd go around saying, I've went through the fire, I've been through the flood, and God, you brought me out to a wealthy place. Well, you know what? He did it. It wasn't too long after I meditated on that, kept that in there, and went through what I was going through without complaining, praise God, I'm not lack for ministry at all. I'm having abundance. We could start more. We could do whatever the Lord tells us to do. Well, you know what? I mean, it was like I wouldn't even notice. Then before you know it, everybody's calling me to pray for their mom and them. Everybody's calling me to pray for cancer, pray for their sisters. And I'm like, man, I went through the fire. I went through the flood. But God, you brought me out. You brought me. They even call me now. People that don't even like me. That's Scotty, he's arrogant, boy. But let mom and them be dying. They call that one that's too strict. They call on that one, praise God, that believe it in stuff, you know, that faith stuff. Because, see, it takes faith to believe God for anything. And so people like that, then they call on the, that's a good thing. Told the Lord one time, I want to be used. Use me, Lord, use me. Then everybody began to call on me, and I'm like, Lord, they're just using me. He said, well, you told me to use you. He said, that's the way they do me. He said, they get in trouble in their car, and then they run to me. He said, they get in trouble with their lights or their health, and they don't give me a time of day till then. He said, so you wanted to be used, I just thought I'd let you see. I'm still used today. Somebody took something from me here a while back, and praise God, I don't remember what it was now. I said, no, they didn't take nothing. I sold it. See, you can't block that. It's like, when you sow it, you don't lose it. It comes back to you. Whatever it is, praise God. So we're not, give me that Mark 11, Beth. Just hang in there. Things might not be going the way you want it to. You just keep fighting the good fight of faith. You just keep staying in the fire if you have to. See, God allows things to happen sometimes. I'm not talking about sickness and disease and all of that. He allows hardship. I'm telling you right now, he allows hardship because hardship, and think about this. I was thinking about this morning. I thought, Lord, you know, for a believer, we've got to have a boldness. If you're going to be a believer and you're going to get results from God and from the kingdom of God, you can't be a backup every step that don't work out. You got to have a go-forth win mentality, praise God. Just like the doctors, they told Teresa, they went up there to the neurologist. Now, I mean, I thought, man, she might have a tumor pressing on something, you know, cancer of the brain. Your mind will tell you all kinds of stuff. And then you Google it, and good God, she's dead. I just don't Google much. If I got a symptom, I don't care. I'm not Googling it. I just don't. But there ain't nothing wrong with Google if you want to. Well, anyways, here she goes up there, and I'm believing God for a good report. I'm believing God that this, they're going to find nothing. I'm talking about tumor and all that stuff, you know. Now, if she's off in the head, because she's just off in the head. Can't do nothing about it. But you know what? All the reports come back good. They didn't find nothing that would cause anything that he could find, and he is a specialist in the brain and all of that stuff, you know. He didn't find nothing that he thought might be, that he was looking for that could cause that. It all came back good. So then they set her up, going to go to a, whatever this other one is. Another wrong, just go get some tests. But anyway, they called, give her appointment all the way down yonder in August. And so I told her, I said, praise God. I said, that gives you time to get your healing where you cancel that. I'm not, oh, good God, what's wrong with them? She's going to be dead for then. God, all the way down to August. Down there, good God, what's wrong with these people? No, man, you can't get in that beggar's mentality, that victim's mentality. You know, and I just looked at her and I said, yep, that gives you time to get your healing, but God, then you can cancel that one. That's the way I'm thinking, right? I'm not going to be at the mercy. Ain't nothing they can do for my little wife staggering around. I mean, she walks, she'll boom, boom, boom. I went to Walmart. I said, hey, baby, I jumped on one of them little things, you know. Johnny, little motor scooters, they ain't little cart. I said, jump on over here, baby. We're right through here on it. I ain't going to that. I ain't going to get on that. Everybody will see me. I'm like, good God, they're seeing you already, man. Which could be worse. She's like, everybody sees me. Everybody sees me. We should have got on the scooter. Everybody going to look at me if I'm on the scooter. I don't care. I'll pop a Wheatie in the third aisle, man. Get some tater chips when I blaze by. Zoom. Y'all like that? Yeah. Shoot, man, I'd have fun, Walmart. Zoom, zoom, let's go, baby. Beep, beep. If I got, yeah. You know, I mean, I would get on there. Nah, man. Darcy, she told me, she said, Mama, I paid a price for that card. How many times she got back to my truck, she was slap wore out. Hey, something about it, when it happens to her, it takes all of her energy to walk. And sometimes she gets the truck, you'd think we done run 10 miles. She's healed. I made fun of it because it's got to go. No weapons formed against us to prosper. That idiot's going to leave her, whatever it is. Jesus already healed her. I'm not going to get in her, poor little Teresa. I'm like, get out here in this truck. Let's drive it out, baby. Let's drive it out. That's what I tell her. I went up on the back porch. Come on, let's go. We'll drive it out.
I ain't going nowhere.
All right, I'll be back in a little while. We'll drive it out when I get back. Praise God. I mean, what are we going to do? Said, oh, good Lord, it's just bad. Oh, it ain't bad. What's bad, man? You stay here and your healing's already yours and you don't fight for it and you never get it and just suffer with it. Well, I'm not going to have it at my house. I'm not going to have it at this church. Y'all ain't going to suffer. We're healed in the name of Jesus. Whatever process, we're not beggars. We're not victims. We are believers, and believers have the victory according to 1 John 5:4. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. But if I think victim, I mean, if I thought, preacher told me one time, pray for me. I've still got a lot to do for the Lord. The Lord knows. I said, you can't get healed like that. I said, your healing is not based on all you got to do for the Lord. I said, it's not works, man. I said, no, we're going to pray the prayer of faith, and you pray. I said, you don't try to get healed based on what you've got a lot to do for the Lord and you want to do for the Lord. I said, you got to fight this fight and get up out of that wheelchair and go and move and do for the Lord. I said, if you're doing it because you've got a lot to do and you've done a lot for the Lord, you're trying to work for it, you've earned it, I said, you won't get it because it's a gift. You don't earn gifts. And he said, well, is that how it works? He's a preacher. I said, yeah, that's how it works, man. We're going to believe. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I heard that he, did he come out of that wheelchair and went on doing ministry. Praise God. He started fighting the good fight. Well, you know, if you're never taught it, but even though you can be taught it, you can be taught the word and how to fight, you can just sit at home and not fight. You can just sit down and say, well, nobody knows what I'm going through. If you knew what I went through, you'd eat some stand bags. All of us have pains in our body at times. I'm going down to brother the other day, and I just thought I'd stick my arm out and get me some wind. Something hit me in my elbow, and I thought a car done hit me when I put my arm out. Pow! I jerked it in. I thought, what was that? What was that? Just a pain. No, it wasn't a bug. It was on the inside, boy. It popped. I thought, good Lord Almighty, I hope this other one don't get it. No, I didn't say that. I said, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I said, you don't do that again to me, but God. You don't start that with me. I'm not going to start voicing that. Nobody's heard about that till right now. Preach, I don't tell her all that stuff. Why? Ain't no need me opening up a can of worms at home. Well, it's just maybe it's author. Let me Google it. No, don't Google it. Don't Google nothing in my elbow. Just let me deal with my elbow. I will Google it right out of the Bible. Pray God, if I'm going to Google something, I'm going to get the word first. I'm going to say, yeah, these right here, but the Bible says. Yep, it says this right here is a symptom, but the Bible says. And then I'm going to keep my mind and my heart because we're believers. If we're going to believe, we got to stay focused on the promises of God. And I mean walk them out. I mean determined to walk them out. Have that consistency, praise God, making quality decisions. A quality decision is a decision you make to get out of debt, and you ain't going to turn back. You make to be healed, you ain't going to turn back. Telling a guy the other day, he said, I didn't know, man, you don't look like you had open heart surgery. I said, I shouldn't. It's been 2.5 years. I said, I got healing. My body heals number one by itself. I said, and I've got the Lord Jesus living on the inside of me. I was thinking about it. I looked in the mirror this morning. I thought, my hair ain't gray, man. I'm 55 and I ain't getting gray, baby. I got some of them younger than me. They don't look rough. They looking white. Yeah. Granny asked me here a while back. She said, do you dye your hair? No, I don't. I do, really. I put faith on it. I looked at her and I said, I don't worry. I do not worry. What if the bills are due? I don't worry. What if it don't turn out, Teresa? I don't worry. I'm not worrying. I don't lose no sleep over nothing. I just don't lose no sleep over nothing. No. I get my word ready in the morning. I lay down. I go to sleep, and I don't worry about church till 9 o'clock. Teresa wakes me up. I go wet my hair down, wear the style, and then I go in there and blow dry it and get my smell good on and britches on. Here I am. I ain't worried about nothing. If I ain't got a sermon, I ain't worried about it. Some of y'all reckon you could preach. I don't know, man. I got a lot going on in my life. I don't know if I can preach at all. Come on, man. I mean, what are you waiting on? Disneyland to show up before you can do the will of God? That ain't going to happen. Disneyland's right when you got born again. You didn't know there was nothing for you to do, and you was happy that Jesus saved you. I mean, right then, nothing mattered. Oh, glory, I'm saved. Go to church. I'm saved, hallelujah. Saved, I mean saved from my head to my toes. I'm saved. Then a week later, the Lord called me to preach. Oh, God, what am I going to do? You're going to praise him just like you did when you were saved. And walk it out, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. We thank